Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, live from the Casabella Design Group studios. And as always, I'm joined by the toughest live podcaster Dan Marino ever played with, the Emmy Award-winning two-time Miami Dolphins MVP, OJ McDuffie. Juice, a quiet day in Miami Gardens.
Yeah, always, man. It's always quiet down here, bro. It's a mess. Like, I mean, I wish they would give me some news and something we could talk about tonight, bro. It's like, I mean, damn. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, you get all this great action going on when it comes to your squad. And then, you know, for us, it's always just crickets, always crickets in Miami Dolphin land.
Hey, finally, Seth, you're not Seth, making
I don't hear you, bro.
Finally, somebody muted Seth.
What the hell?
There you go.
I tried to introduce Perk, and they muted me.
Yeah.
I do this.
Perk,
Perk's system. Perk's internet muted you.
Right. I blame Verizon.
Verizon, like he's not operating off an AOL disc.
Hey. I'm old enough to remember when floppy disks were actually floppy. So, yeah. You know.
Yes.
Well, oh, yes. Yeah. The man that you can't quite see or make out there, that is Sun Sentinel columnist, the host of Miami Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk. He is Chris Perkins. Fix that, you rookie. I'm sorry, Andrew. Always the legendary Savak, producer Savak, and straight from court, wearing a very similar jersey, the man who just ended the Tua Tagovailoa era, he is Chad Van Horn of Van Horn Law Group.
Now, hold on. You skipped my accolade. Don't forget, I am an Emmy adjacent producer.
You are an Emmy adjacent producer. I got a hell of a Christmas dolphin sweater rocking today, at least as far as we can tell.
Festive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Fellas, I'll let, pull the curtain back a little bit, and I'll let the crew and the chat know. You guys were asking where the show rundown was today, and I said the entire – I've been demoted to emergency host. It happens to the best of us.
You went from one to three, Big Seth? You went from one to three?
It's kind of a slap in the face if you ask me. It happens to the best of us, but there's one thing on the agenda, and that's why I didn't send it to you today, and it's the fact that the Miami Dolphins have benched Tua Tagovailoa. Rookie Quinn Ewers is the starter. Zach Wilson will not give up the number two spot. He refuses to give up the number two spot. And Tua Tagovailoa goes from being the highest paid player in the history of the Miami Dolphins. 25 games later, he will be the emergency quarterback as the Dolphins take on the 4-10 Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday. Shocking news in Miami Gardens today. Gosh, like, where do we start? Oh, Chad,
I got one real quick. It's just an original thought. I tried to tell y'all, and you can take it from there.
Thank you. Yeah, this is what happens when I don't send a rundown. Everything's completely off the wheels, but apropos nonetheless. Well, we're excited to see the crew that's in the chat there. We got Lou from Dade. We got Big Sheep. I mean, everybody. Andrew Crowell's there. We got Steve Burke. He was asking what we were going to talk about today. Steve, I'm glad you're here. Hopefully a lot more folks will join us. I know Sam from Perfectville was just on the Finn's Faithful podcast, and he drove the entire hour. I don't know where in the hell that he's going, but he drove for the entire hour. Anyway, Tua has been benched. I'll start with this. I guess my question, fellas, is this the end of the Tua Tagovailoa era? Juice, let's start with you. Will we ever see Tua as a starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins again?
Oh, man. Only if the first two go out. Yeah, we'll have him. He's that third string guy. It's kind of weird. Something's been up with Tua all year long, and it's been really strange, fellas. And I don't know if there's an injury we don't know about, body-wise or what it might be. But for me, it's been like he hasn't been the same guy mentally either. And that's the problem I'm having with Tua. His reads, the interception was a terrible idea on Monday night. The one that should have been knocked down, he tried to, pierce through three defenders was another one. I'm like, that just wasn't Tua to me. And it's been that way the whole season. So I don't know if his body's not right. I know we've talked to some guys, some quarterback gurus that said that, his footwork is not as good as it used to be and things like that. But if you're talking about the end of an era, he'll have a shot at being the starting quarterback next year because of his numbers. But I think that the team has to go out there and find 10 of them in the offseason and look at these two that we already have that are 1-2 going into this week, against the Cincinnati Bengals, man. So to answer your question, I think it is, Big Seth. I really feel like that's the way it is. I think Tua's days are numbered here. He might go somewhere else and might be successful with a team that runs the ball well, has a big offensive line, has a great defense. But for us, I think it's the ship has sailed here.
So looking at the chat, at some of those comments there. Here, Lisa Rose says, Juice knows I'm a true ride or die for this squad, but this needed to be done. Tua seems so broken. Steve, if Mike stays, Tua will be back next year. So
he'll be back. I agree he'll be back. But I'm not just going to give him the starting role like we've done before. He's pretty much had a starting role almost since his rookie year. And when he was forced into action, when I didn't think he was ready to go, and then he started playing pretty well. So obviously, after that, you pay him. Once you pay a guy like that, he's definitely going to be the guy, until he's not. And now, hell, sometimes you just gotta, you gotta eat it. You gotta eat it, Big Seth.
Yeah, well, I want to get into that in a minute, but I want to ask the question to Chris Perkins as well, and I definitely want to talk to Perk about the column that he wrote today, but. Chris Perkins, you've been at damn near every press conference that Tua Tagovailoa has stepped up to the mic. You've been at every game that he's played. Is this the end of the Tua Tagovailoa era in Miami?
It is. It's the end. And look, I think a few things brought it to this point. Number one, I think no Tyreek Hill. What was Tua before Tyreek? What has Tua been after Tyreek? Right. Tyreek made Tua. That's the first thing. The second thing is I think that Tua is playing so confused and he's thinking out there. Again, he's got all these voices in his head, right? Mike McDaniel, the head coach, Frank Smith, the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, the senior pass game coordinator, Daryl Bevel, the quarterback coach, all these voices in his head, and everybody is telling him, throw it away or slide. We can't afford to have you hurt. I think that Tua you can just kind of see him thinking. He's not instinctive. And then the third thing is Tua has told us that the ankle and hip injuries have kind of had a cumulative effect on him. He was not agile or mobile or athletic before, and the injuries have taken even more of that away. So I think it's the injuries. I think it's the voices in his head that don't allow him to play natural and being. Tua is finding that life is a lot different in this league without Tyreek Hill. I think those are the three things that have conspired to bring the Tua era to an end.
So, and he backed off the injury thing today. He was asked about it, Perk, in the locker room. And I don't know if you were there, but he was asked about it and said, no, that's not what this was about.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And he's told us before that the injuries were a factor. So that's what I believe. Look, Tua was good today. He only talked for like 3 minutes. But, he was good. I'm glad that he talked because, as you know, Seth, one of the key rules to media relations or public relations, don't turn a one-day story into a two-day story or a three-day story. Talk today and get it over with.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is by Mike McDaniel saying what he said yesterday in the press conference, it became a two-day story. Yeah. They could have made that announcement today.
He could have made the announcement yesterday, or he could have saved it until today, right? That's on Mike. But as far as Tua's standpoint, come out here and talk to us and get that part of it over with. And now we aren't going to be hounding Tua all week and hounding the media relations department, asking Mike all these questions. So good job on their part.
Yeah, that's being a professional for sure. Yeah. So I have a lot of issues with what went down in the last 24 to whatever, 36 hours. And it's not because I lost all of these Mountain Dew bets. I know that here in the live, I have been adamant in saying that Tua will start the entire season. And I'm not backing off of, in a sense, I'm not backtracking here. I said what I said. And I do believe if they were still in the playoff hunt, you would not have seen this move. Even if, as bad as Tua played, if somehow they had beaten Pittsburgh, I still think he would be the starter going into this week. So I don't believe this whole – the biggest issue I have is this whole idea that Quinn Ewers gives the Miami Dolphins the best chance to win. And that was said over and over today. It was said the decision would – yesterday the decision would be made as a result of who gives the Dolphins the best chance to win. I do not believe – and I don't believe that Mike McDaniel believes that. I don't know how many people – maybe Quinn Ewers believes it. I don't know how many people in the locker room. And this is just – this is just my suspicions, but I don't believe it. And I have so many issues with hearing that over and over again. If you had told me that, look, we've been eliminated from the playoffs. Nobody ever wants to be eliminated from the playoffs with three games left on the regular season schedule, but we have been. It's been a rough year for Tua. We've got two other guys in the roster who've worked hard, and we're going to give them an opportunity to play. I could have stomached that more. I almost feel slapped in the face when you tell me that Quinn Ewers gives the Miami Dolphins the best chance to win when Quinn Ewers wasn't even the number two quarterback for 13 out of 14 games this season. So you got a guy who's a $200 million quarterback, a Pro Bowler who led the league in passing 2 years ago. You have another guy who was a number two overall pick who is kind of this reclamation project who has started, I don't know how many games Zach Wilson has started. Quinn Ewers has never started a game in the National Football League. And the only time that he was made the number two quarterback, and we were told that that was because they felt that if Tua went out, he would have given the team the best chance to win one time the entire season. That was against the Cleveland Browns. Explain to me why the only time that Quinn Ewers gives Miami Dolphins the best chance to win is when we're playing teams from Ohio. I don't understand it. Does anybody else believe does anybody else believe that Quinn Ewers really gives the Miami Dolphins the best chance to win this Sunday? Chad does. Of course, Chad Van Horn does.
Wait, did you see Tua play? Like, legit, your defense played well. All right, can we like, they played well for a while. They held up, but the defense could only hold up for so long, especially, you know, Dolphins don't swim in under 40 degrees. We know this. You held up for a long long enough, but you need offense to show up. And our best player was not even on the field. What are we talking about?
Seth, are we really listening to a lawyer that has a rhinestone, terrible towel, man?
Well, answer is yes.
Come on, bro. We're going to let a rhinestone, tough guy, you know, Tav Van Horn, like,
the answer is yes. Man. And I hear you, Juice. And first of all, we love Chad, right? Like, we love Chad. But second of all, like I told someone today when they were complaining to me about Stephen Ross, I said, Stephen Ross paid for the right to make whatever bad decisions or good decisions that he paid for the right. And so, you know, there's a logo that's on every one of our shows these days. And Chad Van Horn has paid for the right to come in here dressed as Jerome Bettis.
Yeah, right. I apologize, Chad. My bad, bro. My bad, Chad.
But we do love him to death regardless of that.
Where did he get a pink terrible towel?
So my future
from
daughter.
Wife, from his wife.
My future daughter is going to be wrapped in this when she's born in 6 weeks.
Okay.
And she already hates OJ, by the way. Uncle OJ is already on the shit list.
Chad, I'm going to tell you this. It's going to change really fast, and you're going to be jealous. It's going to change really fast because Uncle OJ is a baby whisperer, bro. I promise you that.
Too good. Well, we are all excited and anticipating that. But again, I want to go back outside of Chad Van Horn and his pink terrible towel. Does anyone else here in the chat? Well, I'm sure in the chat they do, but in this group right here, does anyone else believe that Quinn Ewers gives the Miami Dolphins the best chance to win, or do you think this is about something else?
He gives us a better chance, Seth.
Better chance than Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I mean, it can't get any worse, bro. It's been really bad. All these games that we've seen lately, honestly, even with the four-game winning streak, Tua has not been very good.
Yeah.
He has not been. You know, he's managed it well. We've ran the ball very well. It can't get any worse is what I'm trying to get at. You know what I mean? The defense had a chance to really run the game, to take over the game at times and keep it an ugly game, but they didn't. But Tua didn't give us a chance to win that football game at all. And Mike didn't give us a chance to win that game at all by thinking that Tua could give us a chance to win that game. You know, we thought we're gonna run the ball a lot. I think, and Perk, you can correct me on this number. The first 12 plays, I think we threw it 8 times.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
Like who does that when you know you've got a run game that's special like it's been, and then you got guys, you know, that are been balling as run blockers in front, and they're forcing the pass pro, which probably hasn't been their MO this year. More than anything, because our run game has been so good, defenses haven't been able to tee off on them. So, like you're asking, Seth, I do feel like it can't get much worse with Quinn. The only reason I think Quinn has jumped Zach is because, you know, this offense, you got to do it right now. And I don't think Zach does that right now. Quinn's been used to doing that since Texas, and now he's got an opportunity to do it again. But I'm saying that no matter what, And maybe Quinn can run away from a defensive lineman for a little bit and give us a chance to extend a football play.
Well, both guys are more athletic than Tua for sure, right?
But again, you are Big Seth.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. But I can move a little bit. But
you know what? I think the larger. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, Mr. One Single's more athletic than Tua. Like he got a single.
I can hit a baseball. I can't hit a baseball, but if I can hit, if you can get me on base, I can steal second and third.
Chad, that was a mom and dad single too. We don't know who the bookkeeper was in that. We'll leave it right there.
Yeah. Listen,
it was a hit. You hit the ball. I get that.
No, it was a legit hit.
Contract.
I had one damn hit all year. I know
where to go. Where to go?
It went.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't matter where it went. It went far enough for me to get to first base.
Oh, that might have been an infield single. Might have been an excuse me single.
It went went through the first baseman and shortstop. It's okay, but it, you know, I got on base.
Moneyball, baby. Moneyball.
That's it.
All right.
That's it. Hey, look, I'll say this about Tua and Quinn, you were starting. I think this all gets back to the Dolphins don't know what the hell they're doing at the quarterback position, okay? And I'm not going to blow my – I tried to tell y'all, but I just don't see how you can have Zach Wilson, a quarterback who has starts in this league, on your roster as the number two quarterback for the entire season, except for the 24 hours of the Cleveland game, right? Supposedly they told Zach and Quinn Ewers the night before the Cleveland game, some Saturday night, okay, Quinn, you're going to be the number two. Just absolutely ridiculous. But how is this guy your number two all season, and then when it's time to pick a starter, he stays as your number two?
That's my
you promote
point.
The rookie seventh rounder. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. And I'll say this. Now, somebody explained to me that, look, Quinn Ewers was number three, but if you needed a multi-game starter, he was going to be the choice. Zach Wilson, if you needed somebody to come in and play two or three quarters, okay, he's the choice. And I'm like, I get that, but it makes no sense. Like, why do you have two separate backups for separate situations? If you need multiple games, you go to the rookie seventh round pick. And if you need just two or three quarters, you go to the veteran. That makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. The Dolphins have no idea what they're doing at that position. That's what this underscores to me.
Well, what it feels like to me, and this is pure speculation, okay? So I am not connected to hearing this, that, or the third. But it just doesn't feel to me that Mike McDaniel made the decision. It does not feel like that to me, and I'll tell you why. Mike McDaniel's job security has never been in more jeopardy than it has been late this season, right? I mean, he got a contract. Last year, there were whispers, and as soon as the last game, you know, the clock hit zero, the Stephen Ross statement came out, we're going to run it back. He had gotten reassurance. He ended up getting a raise. His job was far more secure then than it has been this year at 1-6 or 1-5 or whatever it was, 1-6, 2-7. And now even after the Steelers game, he's never been more vulnerable than he is right now. And as he told everyone, it's his job to do what is in the best interest of the team winning right now. That this is, he said he would not insult the process to do a trial at the expense of everybody else, all of those other things, which is what fans have been clamoring, not because they think, I don't think the majority of them feel that Quinn Ewers is going to be some rock star, but they want to see what the kid's got. I even see it in the chat. Let's see what the kid's got. McDaniel said that he would not do that. He would not make a decision just to see what the kid's got when other people are putting their careers on the line and going out there to play real games. And it serves Mike McDaniel to win as many of these games as possible because his job is still being scrutinized. So I do not believe under any circumstance that he would choose the least experienced quarterback to be the starter. I just have a hard time believing that. And to me, it feels like a decision was made because this is what the people want. You know, it's almost like the fans want to see Quinn Ewers. So let's start Quinn Ewers, see what the kids got. If you want to give the fans something that they want, give them the friggin' throwback jerseys, you know, make those things permanent. Like, that's the type of thing you can do for the fans. Don't make a decision on who your starting quarterback is. I have a hard time with it.
Yeah. You know, Seth, I understand the part about it might have came down from up top on who was going to bench Tua, but it really had to come from within the building to who's going to be his replacement, though. I don't think they can make that decision as well. Do you feel like they can, like, go and say, like, all right, well, you know what? Let's see what Quinn Ewers is not a first or second round pick.
Nope.
He's a seventh round pick. So to kick those tires doesn't mean anything to me for them. If they invested in somebody at that position, like, you know, like they have with Zach Wilson, that's the one that I would think that, you know what, we're giving this guy $6 million. He should be the guy next up to see what we got there because we're paying him so much money. So I don't think that – I don't think Mr. Ross or anybody up top said, yo, this is who we're going with. I think that they said bench Tua, and then you guys decide who's going to be the next guy. And I think it came within the football building who's going to be the next guy. And that makes – you know, that has to be. Why would you not try to get the $6 million out of Zach Wilson for the last three games of this
season? I agree. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So you're saying Mr. Ross or whoever might have came from the top to do it.
Because I mean, think it's a non-football decision.
I think it came from the building.
I don't think it's a football decision.
You know what? I think that Mike McDaniel, this shows that Mike McDaniel's job security is like 99%. Because if you thought going 6-11 – losing the last three games would get you fired, you wouldn't play the rookie seventh round quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
And here's Steve Ross gave him the approval to bench Tua. Steve Ross didn't say play the rookie seventh round quarterback. I think Steve Ross gave him the authority to bench Tua, and then after that, it's up to Mike McDaniel. I think Mike, for whatever reason, has lost faith in Zach Wilson. Why do you bench Zach on Saturday night before the Cleveland game, and then by Monday, he's the backup quarterback again? Right.
It makes no sense.
Hold on.
Yep.
Perk, hold on. Zach Wilson sucks, and he's proven that he's been terrible. He's been a starter. He's proven he's been terrible. So what? Why are we defending Zach Wilson?
Here's why, Chad. Here's why.
Thank you, OJ. I got juice on my side. He sucks.
Listen, Chad. Sucks. He was, in Mike McDaniel's words, that he was a direct, calculated target in the offseason. They could have gone Sam Darnold. They could have gone Mac Jones. They had a lot of other.
No, they couldn't because they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford that.
No, but
you can
listen,
always afford it.
Mike McDaniel told us he thought he could rehab Zach Wilson the same way he did Tua. This was Mike's ego. This was Mike McDaniel's ego. He thinks he's a quarterback whisperer, so he takes this guy, he gets him in house, he finds out, this guy really isn't that good. And that's what it is.
Here's my issue with all of this, guys. It's easy, Chad, to just say he sucks. He sucks. He sucks. Fine. That's great. But you, and by you, I mean Mike McDaniel, you walk in when your starting quarterback says the market is the market, and after one day decides he is not going to step on the field and throw another football till he has a contract, Mike McDaniel jumped up and down on Stephen Ross's desk and said, we need to sign this guy. This is the only way we're going to continue to win. And he signed a record $200-something million contract that there is plenty of speculation that Stephen Ross did not want to sign. But he trusted the people that he put in the position to make these decisions. And it was the head coach. Even Tua said it. You know, I heard a little birdie told me that Mike McDaniel really pushed for this. Okay, so that's A. Then B, exactly what Perk just said. The Dolphins did not make the playoffs last year because of the backup quarterback position. Yep. They made a decision to bring in Skylar Thompson and Mike White.
Yep.
Skylar Thompson legitimately beat out Mike White and then was a deer in the headlights and got injured. And then it was a domino effect from there, just a series of horrific events at the backup quarterback position. And so they left themselves naked there, which some people felt could have been a fireable offense. So this offseason, the mission was find a backup quarterback that if Tua goes down again, you can win with a backup quarterback. Right. And they specifically chose Zach Wilson for that reason. And now we can blame it all on Chris Greer because he's not here. And maybe somebody's doing that internally. But there's no way you can tell me that Mike McDaniel didn't have his hands all over that choice. Hell, he told, as Perk said, he flat out said, I chose this guy.
Right.
And so now you're on record of talking your billionaire owner into signing a $200 million deal for your starting quarterback.
Yep.
You're on record as choosing Zach Wilson and signing a $6 million deal. And now all of the sudden, when those are your number one and number two options the entire season, when push comes to shove, you're saying the best chance we have to win? Like, to me, I would be scared to walk into my boss's office and say that. Because I might as well just bring my damn pink slip.
Right.
You know, I understand what you guys are saying. Here's the thing about it. Zach Wilson being the number two overall pick in the draft?
Yeah.
You're going to a shitty team, right?
Yep.
We talk about all these other you know, reclamation projects that have happened with some of these other quarterbacks, the Sam Darnolds, the
Baker Mayfield,
Geno Smiths, all these guys.
Yep.
You never know where you're going to be a better quarterback. You're not number two pick by accident. That's what I'm saying right there.
Right.
So why do you not take a chance on a guy that might have been in the wrong system, the wrong place, going to a terrible team, and give him a chance, you know, to be your guy if that's the situation? Because we've seen these guys. We've seen a bunch of these guys in the league that have gone to their next team and been better. Baker Mayfield.
I get
that. Guys
that
are high picks. So I'm saying, like, we can't blame them now. They got him in camp and realized he was still not a good player.
And why was he the number two all season?
Right.
Why was he number? What do you mean? Why was he number? Because two was number one.
No, but why wasn't he number three? If they realized that he's not good enough to take the job, why wasn't Quinn Ewers the number two quarterback towards the end of the year?
Why? Because Zach said. See, that's not what I'm talking about right here. Quinn Ewers should not be the number. My opinion should not be number one. The number one guy now.
That's what I'm asking.
That's not what you're asking.
It is. It's 100% what I'm asking.
It's not what you're asking.
It's 1,000% what I'm asking.
1,000% what you're asking?
Why did they choose Quinn Ewers over Zach Wilson?
You guys are telling me how trash Zach is.
I'm not.
No. What I said, that was Chad.
That's Chad Van Horn.
I definitely am. No, Zach Wilson is
I'm saying,
is
why did Zach Wilson get leapfrogged? None of it makes sense to me.
What I'm saying is, to Chad's point, if the guy is trash, why is he even on the team? Why did your head coach say he's a direct, calculated target? He doesn't know what the hell he's doing at quarterback.
They realize he's trash now, though, Chris. He's trash now. It's not trash when they went for him. They feel he's trash now, I guess, then, right?
How did you not know this?
How do you know? They didn't know about guys that were good before that.
But, fellas, he went into the Pittsburgh game as the number two quarterback. Right. I'm just talking Monday night. But I'm not saying that they figured – like, they figured this out.
I've talked to Zach all year. I talked to him before about the reclamation project quarterbacks, the first-round picks, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. And you know, we were saying that the organization has to be behind you and you've got to be into the organization. You've got to be a good fit. You've got to have all these three things working. And if one of them is off, it's not going to work out. The Dolphins are at that point with Zach Wilson. I don't know why. And I don't know how it came to this point so fast. I talked to Zach today in the locker room. He said he's confused. He said he's frustrated, and he said, I would think a team would want to play the best player. He's going to be my column tomorrow because, dude, I agree with him. Like, what the hell? Again, to Seth's point, then why is he your number two quarterback all year? If you know he's trash, why'd you sign him? Why'd you think you could rehab him? And why has he been your number two all year? If you knew he was trash, why?
15 seconds, real quick. Two things. They thought Tua was the guy. They paid him hundreds of millions of dollars.
Sure.
So obviously, we're going to blame that on him. And they thought Zach Wilson was that as well. You don't want to put pressure on the rookie. So that's why you don't put him as the backup. So you put him as third string. So let him bake, let him grow. And then when a determination comes that Tua is not the guy, you see if you have the guy moving forward because you know Zach Wilson is not the guy because you made one mistake.
Chad, you don't want to put pressure on him to be the backup quarterback the entire season, but now all of a sudden you're going to make him the starter?
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a grown man's league. Put pressure on him.
Right.
It's a grown man's league. Put pressure on him.
And you're going to see it because you saw Zach Wilson under pressure. What did he do? You saw two under
pressure.
When
did you see Zach Wilson under pressure as a Miami Dolphins quarterback? Because if we're basing it on past, then they should have never even brought Tua back when Mike McDaniel was signed, right? Like you know, the whole thing was if Mike
McDaniel – What do you mean, Seth? What do you mean? Mike McDaniel was signed because of Tua.
That's my point, Juice. The whole thing is that Mike McDaniel was supposed to fix Tua, and he helped Tua become a Pro Bowl quarterback and the NFL's leading passer. And then Mike McDaniel told somebody – Chris Greer, Stephen Ross, whoever else, that he could do the same thing with Zach Wilson, that here's a guy with elite arm talent. He's got all these athletic skills, all the things, to your point, Juice, that made him the number two overall pick, all the things that got people excited about him. And Mike McDaniel was excited about him when he was scouting him when he was in San Francisco. He was excited about the opportunity to get him. He was excited about bringing him into a system. And he was his number two quarterback for 13 of 14 games outside of going back to the land. He was his number two quarterback for 13 of 14 games. He was his number two quarterback on Tuesday, on Monday night against the Steelers. And then Monday night was not good enough for quarterback play. And apparently Zach Wilson wasn't good enough to get the opportunity 2 days later. I don't understand that part. That's what I'm saying. I'm not being critical for Tua being benched. I understand it. He's been terrible. He's been downright terrible, and the regression has been horrible to watch. But I am being critical of the fact that Quinn Ewers has leapfrogged Zach Wilson. We don't know why. And all we're being told is that Quinn Ewers gives us the best chance to win, and I don't believe it.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you know, here's the thing about it. We haven't understand a lot of decisions, right, especially at that quarterback position. You said it. You chronicled the fact that, the backup change that before the Browns game, whatever it might have been, we don't know what's going on with the quarterback position at all with that football team.
Fair.
All we knew was QB1 all year long as he's healthy, he's in the game until now, And so is there something that we don't know about what's going on with Zach Wilson in that building other than, his ability to play football? Because there's gotta be some other things that, that are not being articulated with us because we saw Ewers in the preseason. We saw him in training camp. We saw him in the game he came into. Mm-hmm. There's no way in my professional mind as a former football player that Quinn Ewers is a better quarterback than Zach Wilson right now. It's not even possible to me. It's not even possible to me. So what else is going on that we don't know about is my question.
So we're actually aligned, Juice. We finally got aligned. I'm glad we got to this place.
We still are the fish tank.
We are, and always will, for life. Fish tank for life, damn it.
I think this is like a Chris Greer
t-shirt, and friends don't lie, okay? So that's the way it goes.
Right.
This is like a Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel meeting.
Maybe. No, I don't think it is. Because I think if it is, I would have just been like, okay, Juice.
I don't
think it is. But so this leads me to another question, and I want to fast forward. I open up because I like to see what Perk writes before we get him here on the show. And here it is, big, bold headline. And I know you guys don't write the headlines, or maybe you did in this case. Chris Perkins, Greer gone, Tua benched, but McDaniel will get to stay. This makes no sense. Tell me why, Perk.
This makes no sense because Mike McDaniel is the one who's most in charge of the on-field product from the three of those, right? Chris Greer got you the best talent you've had in 20 years. It wasn't Super Bowl winning talent, but you should have won a playoff game in 2023 with that talent. No excuse for not winning a playoff game that year. You should have beaten either Buffalo or Kansas City or Philly. You definitely should have beaten Tennessee. But you should have gotten a home playoff game. You should have played Pittsburgh in the first round at Hard Rock Stadium, and you should have won. But you didn't do that. That's on Mike McDaniel. Look, the times that Mike McDaniel had this big play passing offense, right? It didn't really produce in the big moments. You go to the dink and dunk offense last year, you finished 6-3. You go to the run game this year, you win 5 out of 6. You need to incorporate elements of those two offenses into your offense. You should have known this after the 2022 season. You definitely should have known it after the 2023 season. Mike McDaniel, I think Mike is a decent coach. He's a creative coach. I don't know that I would call him a good coach. And among the three, Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, and Tua, I thought Chris Greer did his job best because he got you the best talent you had in 20 years. I think Tua was number two, and I think Mike McDaniel is number three on that list. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I don't understand how he can survive this. either all three stay or all three go. And one is gone. The other one is 1 foot out the door. And Mike McDaniel has no worries at all. This makes no sense.
I mean, what are your thoughts, Juice?
I agree with what Perk is saying. You know, I read all the Perk stuff, you know, and Seth, what I miss you forward to me, man. And I get what he's saying, man. It doesn't make any sense. Honestly, it does not, that all three are not going, you know. I was surprised that Mike McDaniel survived Chris Greer's firing. Right. I thought that was going to be a 1-2 punch all in the same shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think our owner obviously gave, you know, McDaniel a chance to you know, fix things throughout the season. And Mike, actually, after that, Mike actually changed his ways a little bit, Chris. You talked about the dink and dunk and then the run game. And then this last Monday, he goes back to his old ways again of not doing what he does. So Mr. Ross has to be unhappy about the way Mike refuses to do what is best for the team to win. And maybe even this quarterback discussion we just had is part of that as well. You know, who knows where it goes there. But I think moving forward, some people think that Coach McDaniel's job is safe. I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way anymore. You know, I think that no matter what, there's still too much shit going on that, you know, that people are like, he wants stability, man. I just don't know, man. I mean, people think that Mike's secured his job by going on the run that he went on, but let the rest of the season fail. If it fails and we get to, you know, 6-11 at the end of the day, that's not going to be good. And if he feels like Quinn Ewers is the, and that's his quote, is his statement, gives the best chance of winning, and we don't win, then that's going to be another one saying like Mike McDaniel is not the guy either, you know, moving forward because he's making these bad evaluations. So if Chris Greer, Tua benched, Mike McDaniel, that there will be all three of those guys probably will not play or be a part of the Miami Dolphin organization moving forward.
And I'll say, let me add this real quick, Seth. And I wrote this in my column that I've been told that Steve Ross is about the process and he loves the process with Mike McDaniel. That building has harmony in it, right? There's not a lot of tattletelling and backstabbing in the front office. The players never gave up this season. There's harmony and in the locker room and in the administrative building, Steve Ross places a lot of value on that. I think it's BS. You're in a results-based business. Screw the process. Period. I don't give a damn how you get there. Get me playoff wins. Get me Super Bowl wins. I'll take Brian Flores. I don't give a damn that people didn't like him. I don't give a damn that he hurt people's feelings. The dude got more out of his talent than Mike McDaniel got. Him, man. It's a results-based business. Get some results.
So, and the Flores conversation will take us down a whole other route. Well, first of all, Mike Olivia from Dolphins Talk. Welcome from Mike. And I'll tell you why. Not only
what's up, OJ? Mike, how you guys doing?
But what's up, Mike?
We're a little on edge, Mike. We're a little on edge. But, you know, this is
a little bit of a Royal Rumble tonight. I love this atmosphere. It is a Royal Rumble. Every man for themselves.
I'm super chill and comfortable. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm super chill and comfortable. I'm running court today. I'm doing
good. Dad's not having any issues at all. And we're going to, in a moment, we're going to move into our Tried to Tell Y'all segment. And because I tried to tell y'all that Tua would be the starter through 17 games, I have lost the right to have my Try to Tell Y'all tonight. And so Mike Olivia is going to take over my spot.
You brought in the lefty big side?
I am forfeiting it. I have, again, you guys said I have been pushed back to third string. So Mike Olivia is going to do my Try to Tell Y'all. We're going to get to that segment in just a minute. And before we do that, also, if you've got your legal questions, we know Perk's got a few, get those loaded up. And Luis Diaz, I wish you were here because he had a pretty good one today as well. Okay, so now I want to get back to this. I think you're right, Perk, but I also think that Steven Ross cannot sit and watch his team on its biggest stage time after time. And every time this team is on a big stage, it seems to shrink. And to sit there and hear someone of Troy Aikman's caliber and Troy Aikman's pedigree and Troy Aikman's, right, you know, who he is, and for to sit there and hear him basically just lambast the quarterback, the coach, the process, the decision making. I mean, that was as big of a rip job as I've heard, and it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable to hear that. You have to believe that, to your point, Juice, that if Stephen Ross was kind of waffling, wavering at all, that he's got to be like, well, wait a minute, wait, what? This is so. It's just the whole thing is wacky to me. And then after all of that happens, Quinn Ewers, that 32 teams passed on for six rounds in the NFL draft and who's never started an NFL game, is now giving the Miami Dolphins the best chance to win against the Cincinnati Bengals, who, by the way, are only 4-10. You know, something doesn't smell right.
Answer this, Big Seth. With Quinn Ewers as the new starter for this football team, and Perk and Mike and Chad and Savak, you guys can answer this as well. With him as the new starter for this football team, do you think that they won't have to count on Quinn or ask him to win the game for him? You know, I think the fact that I opened up with a statement with Perk about the first 12 plays were 8 passes, they think that Tua's got to be out there doing his thing. Will they have Quinn Ewers as a game manager moving forward and not count on him to be the main guy? Whereas maybe Zach's more of a gunslinger, can throw it a little bit. Maybe Quinn is a guy that can be out there being a gunslinger, a game manager, and give us a chance to win that way. And maybe that's the issue right here.
That's not his
because
MO.
They still want Tua to be the guy. It reminds me, I've said this the other day, I was talking to somebody, it reminds me of the Super Bowl, Seattle versus New England, and instead of letting, instead of Beast Mode being the guy, they wanted Russell Wilson to be the guy, to be the MVP and going to Disney. To hell with Disney when you got a run game like we've got, and stop trying to throw the rock around the yard like that, you know. Just win the damn games, man. Even Dan Marino was okay with Jimmy Johnson's punk ass making him hand the ball off more often than throwing the football, man. You know, you can't sit here and deal with egos when it comes to things. Even Tua was upset about the fact that, you know, we're not throwing as much. Not upset. Let me rephrase it. He wasn't upset, but he said, yes, he'd like to throw the ball more. All that matters is winning football games. Danny was like, all right, hell, I can't check off. I can't do this. Well, let me hand this shit. You know what I mean? Let me do this. If we win football games, all I care about. So maybe Quinn Ewers is a guy that will be okay with just, you know, hand it to A-Chan. Now that I beat A-Chan in my fantasy football semifinal game, hand it to him all day. Throw it to him all day. I don't care anymore. You know what I mean?
But Juice, that was not – number one, that wasn't Ewers' MO coming into this thing. In fact, Joe Shad had a funny moment in the presser today. He goes, Quinn, what do you say? People say you're a gunslinger. He goes, they say he's a gunslinger, and the whole room laughed at Joe. But that's kind of his MO, is a guy who takes chances, tries to throw the ball down the field. That's number one. But number two, I keep going back to the fact that why did you think he was this great game manager today but not Monday night or not the previous Sunday? I don't understand why.
I got the answer. I got the answer.
Give it to me, Mike.
Here's the answer, and you guys have missed this all night. And I think back when we brought in Flores in year one, he refused to play Josh Rosen and play Ryan Fitzpatrick in meaningless games once they were out of the playoffs, and it cost them a chance to get Joe Burrow. And everyone's like, why aren't you playing Rosen? You trade a second-round pick for him. Nope, wouldn't play him, which, look, let's be honest. If you play Rosen, we ain't winning a lot of those games that we won with Fitzpatrick. And we won meaningless games. Ross, Tom Garfinkel, they're like, not going to fool me twice. We're out of the playoffs. Zach, Tua, don't need you. Quinn Ewers, you play.
I hate the word tanking.
I hate that word. Because those guys on the field are going to play hard no matter what. Tanking is when the owner, GM, they step in and make a call to, like, no matter how hard you play, we can't win. And that's why they're playing Quinn Ewers. Yeah, they'll see. Look, if he plays great, that's great for the Dolphins. That's a win-win. If he loses, that's a win-win. They have nothing to lose. They don't need Zach Wilson. You got 37 games with the Jets of Zach Wilson on tape. You don't need to see Zach Wilson. They're playing Quinn Ewers because if he's the answer, awesome. If he sucks, we're picking higher. They're not getting fooled again from the Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Rosen thing.
Yeah, Mike, we're not getting a quarterback in this draft no matter how sucky we are. We're not going to get one.
I know, but let's get a higher pick. You might get a better safety. You might get a better guard. You might get a better tackle.
Yeah, but we need a quarterback, bro. You're talking about quarterback situation right here, man. You know?
But then don't stand up there and use the terms gives us the best chance to win. Over and over.
What else are you going to say?
They all lie.
What else are you going to say on this podcast? We're going to give us the best chance to lose. What else are you going to say, bro?
On this podcast, you lied to get an Emmy on this podcast.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Look, I keep my own fat. We still have the Emmy, and it can't be taken, but. Come on, what are you gonna like Mike said, what are you gonna talk about? Like, all right, well, we got three shitty options, so we're gonna go with the shittiest because we want to get the best draft.
So first of all, no, as a former PR guy, I would not advise my head coach to say that. A. B, I want to consult my legal counsel at the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone to say what is considered libel and slander to say that we lied to earn our Emmy. We earned our damn Emmy, thank you very much. But what I want to know. What he could have said, and I said it earlier, is that, again, no team wants to find themselves eliminated from the playoffs with three games left on their schedule. However, that's where we are. And as a result, you know, we haven't gotten the play out of Tua that we would have liked. And so we are moving on to give an opportunity to one of these other guys. If you say something like that, but to come out here and keep telling me over and over again that the best chance to win, and then why is yours the choice over Wilson? Because he gives us the best chance to win. It just doesn't – I can't accept it. I'm sorry.
He lied. It was probably a bad way to say it. How you said it was the way they should have said it, but they didn't. And we're at the same situation, though. They know what they're doing here. They're just – they want to see what the kids got. They probably don't care if they win these last three games.
And who's it was they? Like, who is the they, Mike?
The ownership. The ownership.
That was my point at the beginning. I don't think it was Mike McDaniel's decision. Well, Perk,
I agree with you.
What do you got,
Perk? Yeah, no, I'll say a couple of things. Juice, do you know who made that decision to not throw it to throw it in Seattle Super Bowl and not hand it off to Beast Mode? Darryl Bevell. Your quarterback's coach. He was the play caller for Seattle at that time. that's one thing. The other thing is playing Quinn Ewers this week. Sorry, Seth. That was a walk-off. I like that. Playing Quinn Ewers, he does have a little bit of help from the standpoint that Cincinnati has the league's worst run defense, 157 yards a game. Terrible. So maybe Achane can help take some of the pressure off of Quinn Ewers. To Mike, I don't think that you want to lose. I understand improving your draft position, but if you have 6 wins or 9 wins, you might move, 4 or 5 spots in the middle of the draft. I want to teach my players, especially the young players, how to win. I want to teach them winning habits. You've got a lot of young players here. As a matter of fact, when Quinn makes this start, I think it's going to be the 5th of the 7 draft picks this year to start. I think only Zeke Biggers and Jason Marshall have not started a game of these rookies. I want to teach these guys in the last 3 games winning habits. I don't want them to lose. So I understand what you're saying, Mike, but I hope they're not thinking we can move up and get a quarterback this year, because this isn't the year to get the quarterback high in the draft. You would force yourself to fall in love.
It's not about the quarterback.
I'm just saying in general, because there's still people out there who say we need a quarterback, let's lose and move up. Don't force yourself to fall in love with the next Josh Rosen or the next Zach Wilson and take them up high just because you have that pick. Like you said, Mike, you'd be better off getting an edge rusher or a safety or whatever. My fear is if the Dolphins pick 5 or 6, they would force themselves to fall in love with some second-rate quarterback, and you'd be stuck with them for the next 2 or 3 years. So, but you're right, Mike. You can get a safety or an edge rusher or something. Don't force yourself to fall in love with a quarterback.
I totally agree. Yeah. But I also think with this, we know this owner. He's been suspended a few times for tampering. If he didn't make this call, play Quinn, because we know. And that wouldn't shock me either. And that's what I think it is. It's not about you know, trying to like lose on purpose. Telling, it's like, I know my odds of winning are reduced. Yes. And yes. Look, they might win. They might win. They might win. If he's and look, if you're a fan of the Dolphins, you want them to win because that means he played probably pretty good a quarterback. But they're hedging their bet. Like, you know what? Zach Wilson's here for three more games and he's a free agent. We don't need to see Zach Wilson. Let's go to Quinn.
Right. I agree with that on Mike. You know, you say, look, I said this earlier that we won despite Tua and not because of Tua, those four out of five that we won. So even if Ewers goes out there and we win football games, doesn't mean he had a stellar performance out
exactly.
there. He might have done, you know, a decent enough job. And when it comes to the draft with me, I don't give a damn where you draft somebody. I really don't, because there are some – you guys just murdered Zach Wilson. He was number two pick overall.
Yep.
We're killing two of the day. He was number fifth pick overall.
Yep.
It doesn't matter where you draft somebody. It's who you draft and if they're going to be good players, because there's so many guys that – our best players – Seth, we've talked about this a million times. The best players in Dolphin history, most of them weren't first-round draft picks. It's not where you pick, it's who you pick. And how, you know, that's always been the case. And there's also the case of where do you go? Does the system you're going to fit you? You know what I mean? I'm not going to, you know, Urban Fryer was like an outlier. Urban Fryer was a team that ran like wishbone and wide receiver. And like,
what number
how
one?
The hell, did you draft him number one overall pick as a wide receiver in the NFL?
I don't know, Brasco.
Hell, he was that dude when he got to the league too. You know what I mean? Some guys, is, you know, it's all about not where you pick, is who you pick. So anytime people are talking about, you know, we don't use the tanking word. We talk about that. Tanking sucks because it doesn't matter. You're not going to, unless there's a Peyton Manning sitting there at number one overall pick, you know what I mean? Or something like that. And which is rare anymore. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Unless you need that position, just play the games out, see what happens, and pick the best person in the draft. And hopefully we have a defensive philosophy and an offensive philosophy, and you get the guy that fits both of those that makes you a better team.
I'll say this. Whoever they end up drafting and whoever the GM is, I hope they continue to build the trenches. They started this 2 years ago with Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul. Yeah. They continued it last year with Kenneth Grant and Jonas Abaynaya. I hope they continue that trend.
And big biggers, all those guys, it's going to be nice, man. I think that's – because we've been getting beat up there so much per
– right.
We've been getting our asses whooped in the trenches so much. And they got their asses whooped second half of this last game too. You know what I mean? They started, you know, abusing these young guys, but they'll figure it out. So Savaya Nye's comments with Hayward, I'm like, I mean, bro, I get that you want to get some advice. But man, don't be around a microphone, man. Just, you know, text him or something, man. You know what I mean? Ask him better, man. You know what I mean? Don't be live mic'd up. I get young guys always want to talk. I didn't talk to any DBs after a game after we lost. I'm like, the hell with all you mugs, man. You know what I mean? I tried to cut you. I tried to blindside block you. I don't
that's
you
it.
Know what I mean? But
I love
but
it.
You know, call me on my home line, my home line, because that's all we had back then.
Hey, real quick. I can do to get better. Did any of you guys see Tua talking to Jalen Ramsey? Did you see Tua and Jalen Waddle on the sideline laughing? And what did you think of it?
Yep. Yes, that's a great.
Starts with the coach. That's the atmosphere he's got.
There's a couple things.
Word. Thank you, Mike.
Tua had too good of a time and a loss. He had way too good of a time and a loss. And then to chuck it up with Ramsey at the end. I was also upset with Waddle sitting there. You know, I don't know, you know, when the camera shot to him when the team was losing. Bro, I'm on the sideline. I'm up and down the sideline getting guys motivated instead of sitting there by myself, you know, being all about me. This team is built different, bro. They really are. And they're never – if anybody looks at our Twitter account, Big Seth, I think you forwarded this to, and our boy Emilio from, you know, he's the one that put the picture of me on my knee with that scowl on my face.
Yeah.
That would be me – for like, you know, forever, man. After a loss, there's no way in the world that I'm yucking it up and smiling and laughing, especially after my team just got eliminated from the freaking playoffs, man.
Juice, real quick, does it matter? And like, I'm being random here. Does it matter that you're rich and you don't give a shit? Because that's what it felt like.
Yeah. Well,
that's what it felt like. It's like, I'm rich, and I'm ready to retire. And like, look, if this is my last contract, guess what? I never have to worry.
But here's why that matters. And if that is the case, and it could be the case, here's what's problematic. Who does Patrick Mahomes have that kind of money?
Yes, he does.
He does. And but do you ever see that guy plays like he's trying to play for his second contract every time he's out there,
right?
You know, and I know I just picked a Hall of Famer and a guy's one of the best to ever do it, but there are plenty of guys out there who get paid and they still play like they're a hungry UDFA. But and Seth, those are the guys you want in your locker room.
And Seth, to your point, I mean, Patrick Mahomes got injured doing exactly what you said. Like, he didn't have to, like, he does not have to be the leading running back for Kansas City, but he decided, look, for us to make another Super Bowl run, I need to be the leading running back for my team. And he blew out his ACL doing that. And yeah, it makes a difference. It really does.
And that's a guy who's got paid and is rich and all those other things. So is that the reason? It could be. I don't know.
I think it's South Beach, man. I'm going to get it South Beach.
South Beach could be part of it as well.
They can't wait to get on South Beach, man. I think they're like, yo, we keep playing well, man. We're going to be playing in the, you know, late January. Hell, I'm trying to get on South Beach, man.
JT tells me all the time, anytime I'm having an issue with a kid, anytime I'm having an issue at work, he says either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And I think that reflects back on who is in charge of that locker room. And that's a Mike McDaniel issue.
You know, and that's Chad, my going biggest back to thing. What you said, man, I you know, I had some buddies of mine that, you know, that played at Notre Dame, and they're like, nah, these kids don't want to play in a bowl game because they already got money. They don't need bowl money. They don't need that. They're rich, or rich as in college standards. They're rich. Some of them are rich. Hell, you mean.
But yeah, they are.
Like, there is a mentality already where guys are like, you get to a certain point in the season, and I know this for a fact with some former teammates. One, they don't want to get hurt.
Yep.
You know, two, they're happy with their contracts. They want to make some money. You know what I mean? And three, they don't want to be rehabbing all season. They're like, we're good with it, you know? And if, you know, if we're not good enough, then hey, no matter what. And we've heard this, and I hate to say it. Like I said, I did an event with Tua last week with Gatorade, and he was great.
So he was wonderful.
He was wonderful. Tua was absolutely wonderful. But at the same time, we've heard press conferences when he's like, you know what, I'm going to go home and play with my kids and hang out with my family, and he's cool. At this level, you can never be cool with L's, man. You can never be cool with L's.
What about when your Christmas was ruined?
You already got the money. What are you playing for now? You're playing for chips, not no aura ring. You're playing for Super Bowl rings. You know what I mean?
What about when your Christmas was ruined?
Oh man, the Green Bay game. Come on, man. That's why I stopped doing post game perk.
That was on Thanksgiving, not Christmas. But okay, point taken.
Whatever the hell it was, Mike. You know all this shit.
It was a holiday. He ruined all holidays.
It was Christmas.
This is a Christmas.
It was Christmas. We played on Christmas Eve.
When Sue got concussed.
It was versus the Packers.
Against the Packers.
The Packers on Christmas.
And he got we found out he had the
concussion. Okay, that game versus the Packers.
Oh, yeah. He got on the microphone afterwards and be like, yo, you know, everybody wish you guys all a Merry Christmas. I said, bro, I've been here all day for your Christmas, man. You know, my Christmas is already ruined, man. What are you talking about?
Juice was so pissed. All right. We have it's a 10-1 already. I love Tua, though.
Let's finish that one. I do love Tua, though, man. I do. As a person, I love him. Love him to death.
Because I could go on and on because I hear what everybody's saying. I just am not accepting it. Something doesn't smell right for me. It's hard for me to accept all of it. But we are moving into – I tried to tell y'all because we're already running late, but damn it was that kind of a day. Literally had nothing. We had no agenda. Had one thing, and we've been able to get through an hour of this show. I tried to tell y'all we're going to kick it off with O.J. McDuffie. Juice, what did you try to tell us?
Oh, my God, Big Seth. You know – I try to tell y'all that I am the biggest homer Dolphins fans have ever witnessed. That is me, you know. And I've only been a fan since April of 1993. And of course, that's the day I got drafted. But what a blessing. I was a wide receiver from Penn State where we really threw the ball. I was playing with the great Dan Marino, easy sell for me. And, you know, I always say, you know, Dan is the badass man. If he can sell isotonic gloves down here in hot ass South Florida. Right. So then I played with Scott Mitchell, my man, Bernie Kosar, Doug Peterson, Steve DeBerg. I won't say anything about Steve DeBerg, But I played with those guys all during that time. You know, I even had season tickets set, as you know, afterwards, bro.
A whole bunch of them.
Tickets years after I retired. But once Danny retired, there have been 26 and now 27 new starting quarterbacks in Miami Dolphins history. What I'm really trying to tell you is that being a homer, I have given, you know, all these guys, I've given them all a shot. I've given them all a chance. The feeder, who's my second favorite, Pennington, Culpepper, Lemon, Hewers, you know, Heward, you know, Henny, all these guys, Tannehill, Farratt, Moores, I've given all these guys, all these guys, even Snoop Huntley and Skylar Thompson, many, many opportunities. Now we got Quinn Hewers, but I'm not taking the cheese anymore, Big Seth. I'm not going for the pump fake. I'm done drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. And I will not, I definitely will not let Lucy pull the football from my right foot as I'm about to kick this 50-yard field goal. I believed in Tua until I couldn't anymore. Get me a quarterback, because I am the biggest homer and I'm tired of looking fucking stupid, man. I tried to tell y'all.
Well, I should have said, if I knew you were bringing it like that, we would have saved you for last. That was fantastic. Chris Perkins, good luck being the Zach Wilson number two quarterback to OJ McDuffie there. Chris Perkins, what did you try to tell us?
I tried to tell y'all Mike McDaniel cannot develop quarterbacks. And we've seen this time and again. We see this with Tua, right? I think all Mike told Tua is, there's Tyreek Hill, throw the ball to him. We didn't see Mike develop Skylar Thompson. We didn't see him develop Teddy Bridgewater, Snoop Huntley, Tim Boyle, Mike White, none of them. And now we have this Zach Wilson reclamation project. Apparently that thing has fallen flat. And so now we go to the second rookie seventh round quarterback starter of the Mike McDaniel era in Quinn Ewers. We saw what Skylar Thompson did. It wasn't good. Now, look, Skylar did get you that Jets victory in 2022, which got you to the playoffs. He got you into that Buffalo game. The offense only scored two touchdowns. Zach Sealer scored the third touchdown on a fumble recovery. But that's fine. He's a rookie seventh round pick. You don't expect much of him. Which brings me around to Quinn Ewers. What are you expecting of this guy? What is the end game here? Do you think that Quinn Ewers is going to show you enough in three games that you're going to go into training camp thinking he's going to compete for a starting job? Is he going to show you enough in three games that you go into free agency going, eh, we've got our starter? You're going to go into the draft going, eh, we've got our starter. I don't understand what the end game is. What are you hoping to see from Quinn Ewers, and how is that going to translate when you get into training camp next year? I don't get it, but here's what I do get. Mike McDaniel is not going to be able to develop this guy into a consistent starter. He didn't show me anything with Tua. He showed me that he could, again, get Tua to throw the ball to Tyreek, but I was skeptical when Tua didn't have Tyreek under Brian Flores, and I was skeptical this year when Tua didn't have Tyreek with Mike McDaniel. I'm not convinced about Tua. I'm not convinced that Mike McDaniel can develop quarterbacks, I tried to tell you.
Well, for the parts that we heard there, Perk, that was fantastic, I think.
Really?
KK said, I just tried to tell you all that Perk needs. He needs new Wi-Fi. I think those are all fair questions. I think those are all fair questions.
Yeah.
All right. I said this earlier. If you're just getting here now, this is normally when I tried to tell y'all something. However, since I got to eat crow here, I believed very strongly that Tua Tagovailoa would be the starting quarterback for all 17 games this season if he was healthy. Tua is healthy. He will not be starting against the Cincinnati Bengals. For that reason, I have conceded my I tried to tell y'all to our good friend, Mike Olivia from Dolphins Talk. Mike, what did you try to tell us?
I tried to tell y'all way back in October, after Miami was embarrassed in Cleveland, that Tua was going to be on the bench at some point this season. Mm. Wrote a nice little article about it, laying out how and why this is going to happen and when it's going to happen. My good friend, the Emmy Award winner, Seth Levitt, he has just as many hits as he does those Emmy Awards. And Seth, by the way, if you're going to lie about something, lie about the infield single. Say it was a home run deep to left. No one's going to go back and check.
I'm not lying about that.
If Mike McDaniel's lying about this with the quarterback, you can lie about your single. Say it was a home run to left. I digress. But they did what they had to do today, the Dolphins. They're left with no other options. The handwriting has been on the wall. Since week one this season versus the Colts, that their highest paid guy has been the biggest problem on this team. He's been the anchor. And it's shown up week after week after week. And you can't win in this league when your highest paid guy is also your team's largest problem. And, you know, you can go to Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers. And I know people say, does he give them a chance to win? I don't know, but they can't be much worse than what we've seen this year from Tua, who's been really bad, even in wins over Washington and the Saints, where he didn't play great. Heck, versus the Jets, he almost threw two pick sixes at his own goal line. He was lucky it was the Jets and they dropped it. And if he didn't have that type of contract, he would have been benched months ago. Now, here's the Miami Dolphins. They're about to enter a rebuild again. They're going to start a search for a franchise quarterback again. And I don't know what's going to happen to Mike McDaniel. I don't know, but if he was up there today being totally honest, and this is 100% his call to put him on the bench, what does that tell you about a man who is coaching for his job that he feels a seventh-round pick with no experience gives him the best chance to win? That's what I tried to tell y'all. The handwriting has been on the wall all year, and it finally happened today. That's it.
Good stuff, Mike.
It is good stuff.
Mike came strong.
It is good stuff, Mike.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, both of y'all did, man. I love it, man. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, we're just going to ignore this, last week. I predicted the score, but we'll move on.
you tried to tell us. What was the score again you predicted, Chad?
No, 23-13. We're the 10-point game, which I predicted. But whatever. I mean, we're just going to move on because you guys are the smart one. Maybe you should pick who's the next quarterback.
Couldn't be worse than the last guy picking him. I can miss on quarterbacks in the draft.
One thing we didn't talk about,
and we'll have to save it for the next week. We did not talk about who would be the person making that decision, because that's probably the biggest story here, is who's going to be making these decisions moving forward. I'm going to quickly move into the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. Normally, Perk kicks this off, but there was a question here in the chat. Like our guy John Voss is having trouble. His nephew's a season ticket holder, having a tough Christmas. His wife's going through a divorce lawyer. The kids are young. He may move out, pay the mortgage, and find an apartment. He doesn't know what to do. What should happen first? Go through the divorce, go through the bankruptcy first. I don't know his money. Chad Van Horn, what's your advice for this poor sap?
So first thing you do is you give the wife the season tickets. Like immediately.
Right.
Like initially, like that's your offer. Like, hey.
Is that good legal advice or is that just another shot at the Dolphins?
Both. If she's willing to take it, you say, hey, look, I will escort you there. You and your new boo, I will take you to the game.
Damn.
And you could have those. But in reality, if you are going through a divorce, and one of the top reasons for filing bankruptcy is divorce. If there's joint debt, it's actually better to file bankruptcy as a couple if you can stand each other. Like if you can like see each other, like if you can communicate as humans, because you know, obviously divorce is very serious. That's why I'm not involved in that. You know, bankruptcy is more dealing with numbers, which we're really good at. But yeah, if you're have joint debt, it's better, or even if you don't, but you still can speak to your spouse and soon to be ex-spouse, it's better to deal with that prior to the divorce than after, because there are benefits, there are exemptions, especially in Florida, that can benefit you.
All right. Great stuff from Chad Van Horn. Chris Perkins, there's no way we're getting out of here without you.
You know, I wear Chad out with my legal concerns.
Talk to this guy right here. I got all the answers you need, Perk.
We should do a contest. Somebody win a Chad Van Horn Funko Pop. John Van Horn Funko Pop.
I got 286 in the building, dog. So
I love it.
Talk to this guy right here. This is the guy that's going to give you all the answers you need, Bert.
All right.
By the way, it's worth more in the box.
I'm about to put it back. I'm putting it back in the box.
It's worth more in the box, Juice.
Right.
Kirk needs one that talks so he can just press it and get answers.
All right, Kirk.
Chris Perkins, what do you got?
So, Chad, I'm up in Pittsburgh over the weekend for the Dolphins game. And, you know, there's snow, there's ice. I'm walking around, and you know how the ice falls off these buildings? I'm wondering if some ice falls off a building and I get concussed, who do I sue? And does it matter if it's a private building, a government building, or a private residence? Who do I sue, or am I just SOL?
So first off, like I the first name defendant would be Verizon for cutting you off tonight, because it's amazing how like all your bad takes are clear, but all your good takes are just blurred. I think it's a Verizon thing. It's probably an AI, whatever. But it's funny you say that, because I actually have some clients in Pittsburgh and I have an office in Pittsburgh. And there are going to be some workers' comp against Acershore Stadium because they did not clear the rotundas where people were walking. Yep. And there was some black ice there, which OJ and us Northerners know what black ice is.
Yep, like, I know.
It's there, but you don't see it.
Right.
People were busting their ass. So there were a couple hundred people that fell, busted their ass, that are going to have workers' comp claims because they were working there. So if you're in the stadium, you have a claim against the stadium. If you're outside and your internet's not working great, you have to go against the private entity or wherever the incident happens, if you will. So it is a real thing, which is really funny you brought it up tonight, because I mean out of 70,000 people, which I think is approximately how many people were there, I can't believe it was that many people because it was 10 degrees. Yeah. There are a few hundred people that experienced this, but no, it's a real thing. And if you were on private property and it wasn't maintained properly, you could sue the private company. If it's public property, believe it or not, suing the government is not more beneficial, generally speaking, other than they have a certain amount of money, but there's limits of what you can sue to. So you could have $10 million worth of damages, but their limit might be $250,000 because they don't want the taxpayers paying that money.
Wow.
I can see Perk just waiting for some shit to fall on him, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. No, man. He was basically like two. He was like Tua rolling out of the pocket. He was waiting for somebody to take him out.
I have a drink under the biggest icicle I can find.
too good. All right, well, listen, guys, that was I think we got it all off our chest, although I still feel uneasy about the whole damn thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Now Andrew Crawl has an idea. He says that we should all make predictions, not necessarily, I don't think he means scoring predictions, but predictions on what we tried to tell y'all, because we like to retroactively tell us what we tried to tell y'all.
Right.
But then, you know, does anybody want to make a prediction? And then we can see who actually tried to tell us something that came true this Sunday.
I'll make one.
Go for it.
I'll say I tried to tell y'all that Quinn Ewers will hand the ball off 50 times next game.
And all right.
Achan will have... Oh, no. And Jalen Wright will have more than one carry, considering he only had four snaps last game. And the Dolphins will beat the Cincinnati Bengals because they are more trash than other teams we've played. That's my – I try to tell y'all.
Okay, that's your – I try to tell y'all prediction. Chris Perkins, you're in the prediction business. What about you?
Man, you know, I used to have a feature on radio like this, but I used to call it "I'm Calling It Now." And I would say, this is what I'm calling. This is what I'm calling. So I'm calling it now. I think that Jalen Waddle has less than 50 yards receiving. I'm losing faith in Jalen Waddle as a difference maker, man.
That's going to lose my fantasy game, bro. I'm sorry, game.
I hope Quinn Ewers.
Right.
An indictment on the quarterback that gives us the best chance to win. Mike Olivia, what do you think?
I think they're going to tell Quinn Ewers to don't hold on to that ball and get it out of your hands quick. So I think that he will get sacked less than two times.
Okay. Less than two times. Savak, Chad, do you guys want to get in on this game?
Oh, I got one. The Dolphins are going to look better under the Quinn Ewers offense than the Tua offense.
Wow.
And they're going to win the game. And you guys next week are going to be like, 2 weeks in a row?
You trying to tell us?
I tried to tell you.
All right, let's grab that horn. We'll see what jersey he wears. We'll see what jersey he wears next week. Actually, we're not going to be here next week.
I'm having a Quinn Ewers jersey on next week, and I'll do this podcast alone after this happens.
Because you gotta get that specially made, Tad. They don't have it in the store yet, but we'll see.
Savak, what about you?
I guess I should play spoiler then. And per something that Juice just said, he said that we haven't lost to a worse team than that. I disagree, actually. We lost to Cleveland.
You're right.
But so in that same kind of vein, just remember we were talking about this before we started, how that Pittsburgh game was one that was very winnable, could have won that. This is another one of those. So it kind of feels like since we should win this game, we probably won't.
Oh, at home? You know, damn. Alumni weekend, man. And I need to shout that out too, Big Seth. We got over 100+ alumni coming in town.
That's sweet.
If they, you know, it's going to be a great weekend. If they lay an egg in front of the former players too, you know what I mean? We're going to be on the field at some point. You know, they make us wear those jackets. Thank goodness it's in December. It's hot.
Just real quick. How many of you alums are going to play, though? That'll probably help.
Well, you know, we're seeing if, you know, see if we can put Marino's jersey down. You know what I mean? Dupe and Clayton can't run like they used to. You know, Ronnie Brown, I'd still hand him the rock. You know, I would give those guys a chance. I don't know. JT's probably bowl prepping, so he won't be there.
He won't be there.
But, you know, we got some other dudes that, you know, I think that we got a good chance of going out there and making some plays if they were to, you know, unretire and, you know, do a Phillip Rivers and get their insurance kicked in again.
And it's the Dolphins are celebrating 60 years of Dolphins football. Swept under the rug here. It's 60 years of Dolphins football. I think you're going to see some of the greatest players from different eras of Dolphins football. So it's going to be a pretty cool thing. I hope I didn't spoil that. If I did, I apologize, Miami Dolphins. But maybe it'll get buried underneath all of this other craziness. My prediction, and I don't like predictions. I don't make poor predictions. I predict that the number two quarterback who got leapfrogged will play in this game at some point. I predict that you will see Zach Wilson in the game at some point.
You think 2 weeks are going to pass, and you think we're going to forget about what you said? It might happen because
I'll bet that Mountain Dew shot right now. Like I will bet that.
I'm already in the hole. Thank goodness, we still owe me like two cases.
So with that being said, I want to see Chad. What are you sipping on?
You already know I'm sipping on Chianti.
Chianti, Savak, what are you sipping on?
Honestly, it was water. That's it.
Oh, damn. Big Seth, I know what you're sipping on. Talk about it.
Always. A Mountain Dew and water.
Well, I'm sipping on some 1942.
Whoa, look at that with the Dan Marino.
Right. And it's been that long since we had a great quarterback. So, cheers, y'all.
So I will, before we sign off, and I know I said this earlier, and I'm just so upset about it because it makes no damn sense to me. But Savak did some research, and I don't want that to go unnoticed. As I told you, Quinn Ewers has now only been determined by Mike McDaniel that Quinn Ewers will give the Miami Dolphins the best chance to win in two games out of 15 this season. Those two games happen to be against teams from Ohio. So Savak did some research to see all three Miami Dolphins quarterbacks, since they were college players, what are their records against teams from Ohio? And then you guys can make the determination if you still feel Quinn Ewers gives us the best chance to win. What do you got, Savak?
All right. So I went digging. And when I say digging, I mean like Indiana Jones style, except instead of ancient relics, I found jack shit. So based on everything I could find, Quinn Ewers has faced exactly one Ohio-based team in his entire football life. One. Uno. Singular. And I'm talking about the Cotton Bowl. You guys probably remember that. He won it. Now that's it. No NFL size. Yep, exactly. He's 1-0 against Ohio. Go ahead and put the banner up, I guess.
Was that the Ohio State University?
Real quick, Juice.
Let's get through the stats. I want to get through the stats, Chad. If you can, he did some research here. I want to get through the stats.
Okay. Well, please. Go ahead, Savak. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No. I think that every segment we need a Savak segment. By the way, yes. I even heard the whole thing, but I know Ohio sucks, and I know Quinn Ewers is going to be great.
I don't want to go off the rails. I can be in your house in 2 minutes, man. Keep that shit up, Chad. I'm on my way.
All right. So one to know. What else? What about Tua? What about Zach?
On to Zach Wilson. In college, Zach Wilson also faced one Ohio team that was Toledo. He lost. So he's 0-1.
He lost to Toledo?
He did.
Is that legit?
Yes, 100%. Right. That happened.
Seth, you got to make the Savak segment a thing. Like that's like if we're gonna deal with Perks Internet, we got to make the Savak segment a thing.
What about Tua? Tell us about Tua.
Oh wait, but we didn't even get into Zach Wilson's NFL career.
Oh shit! Okay.
So this man somehow managed to be injured or unavailable every single time the Jets played an Ohio team. Oh. In one season, he actually missed both of them in back-to-back weeks. Yeah.
Damn.
Pretty damn impressive.
But have you seen his mom?
Yes.
hey, Savak, some people aren't allowed in the state of Ohio, man. Some people are not allowed in the state of Ohio. Maybe that's what it was.
All right, so Wilson's 0-1?
Yep, 0-1.
Wilson's 0-1. Ewers is 1-0. What about Tua?
Now, Tua was very interesting. Would you guys believe it that he never actually faced an Ohio team in college?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, of course, he's been there. He went... As of today, 2-2 against the Ohio Isn't that the most Miami Dolphins thing ever?
Yeah. Wait, is that in Ohio or when they
just against Ohio teams?
And none of those Ohio teams have been very good either since he's been in the league, which is he should be 4-0 against those guys.
He really should.
Yeah. Well, there it is. So there's your answer. I know that this team is very big on analytics. If you put them all into the computer, what it spits out is that the quarterback who has the best record against Ohio teams in the history of their college and professional careers combined is indeed Quinn Ewers. Maybe there's your answer. I think on that note, Juice, get us the hell out of here.
Hey, everybody, thanks for diving in.
Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one, of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, never been that fish tank, go get your aqua on.